I just thought of something I hadn't thought of before. Maybe Christmas doesn't come from a store. Maybe Christmas means a little bit more.
Is that from the book or the movies that we're about to talk about?
Both. I think that line was in all of them.
I actually don't remember that line.
Really?
In either of these. I know that's the overall theme.
Uh-huh.
And yet,
yeah,
it's all coming on.
Yeah, no, we heard it last night.
We literally saw it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
One of the closing lines to Dr. Seuss's book, How the Grinch Stole Christmas. Three films we're discussing tonight. The 1966 animated short, the 2000 live-action Ron Howard movie, and the newly released one by Illumination and DreamWorks, right?
Illumination, I think, is DreamWorks now.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
It's a Minion company.
I'm Rolando.
And I'm Nicole.
And this is Remakes, Reboots, and Revivals.
The Christmas Special.
An original podcast.
About unoriginality. Let's go. So today, it's the Christmas spirit. We're a week away from Christmas. Are you excited?
No, because today we're actually joined by our producer, Emily.
Mm-hmm.
Because funny story, Josh and Eddie Z asked for a Christmas bonus.
Yeah.
And this Grinch told them no. So now we've replaced them.
Yeah. A bonus, you say. A bonus, I say nay. So bye, guys. Happy New Year, too. But yeah, so we're going to talk about the pretty fucking famous book and then movies, The Grinch, today, which we're massive fans of, I've come to learn.
Oh, is that?
That's facetious.
Okay, that is facetious. I was going to say, which is like, I don't think I've ever been a fan of like The Grinch story.
Yeah, well, do you like Dr. Seuss?
Not really.
Okay.
I was never big into Dr. Seuss.
And you don't like his style or just like you don't really care for him?
It's not something I grew up with, right? Like it wasn't something I think I read The Cat in the Hat and I didn't.
That's like not even near my favorite Dr. Seuss too. And yet his is his most famous.
It is his most famous. What else do you know? The Lorax?
Lorax.
I don't care about that.
Horton Hears Who. Oh, The Places You'll Go.
Did he do The Giving Tree?
No, that's Shel Silverstein.
Okay, well, there you go. You see, Dr. Seuss can go. Is he dead?
He's dead.
Okay. Well. He's long gone. Rest in peace, Dr. Seuss.
He could go die.
Well, you know, you've mentioned that he has like a lot of books written. I think he's very synonymous with like children's literature.
Yes. Yes.
And yeah, so yeah, his most famous work is probably The Cat in the Hat.
Yeah.
However, when it comes to like adaptations, the most famous one I would say is definitely The Grinch.
I would say so. I mean, he's pretty famous in the sense where it's like he has a whole like section in Universal Studios in Florida based after him. He's had a musical based on his works. Like he's pretty embedded in our pop
Seussical
culture.
The musical.
Seussical. Yes, yeah, exactly.
Of course.
And just a what bunch a of references. And like I see so many people give their dog shirts that says Thing One and Thing Two, which is The Cat in the Hat. So just a little... what that is.
I look totally confused when she said that.
Okay, so let's give a little backstory. So Theodore Geisel, also known as Dr. Seuss.
His name was Theodore Geisel. I did not know that.
Geisel, I think. I hope I'm pronouncing his name right. I think it's Geisel. He wrote How the Grinch Stole Christmas in 1957. Now, did you know, history of Christmas-wise, Christmas wasn't really like a thing until the 50s? Did you know that?
I didn't know. Well, describe a thing, because I think like Christians have been celebrating Christmas since the hundreds.
We've been celebrating Christmas for years, but many Christmas customs, they were restricted to the upper classes up until the 50s.
Oh, well, that makes sense. I mean, yeah. I'm sure like the lower classes couldn't buy a Christmas tree every year.
Yeah, Christmas trees actually weren't even a thing.
Right.
Decorations, songs, and traditions, it wasn't something that everyone took part in. Mm-hmm. And then like even then, they were very simple. Like kids only got like fruits and simple things
on Christmas morning. The horrible times.
Yeah, dark ages. In the 50s, because of the age of consumerism, Christmas just blew the fuck up. I mean, Christmas trees became a thing. Presents, these songs, these creatures, like Santa Claus was like really embedded in pop culture. They came up with Rudolph and Frosty and all these characters. So this was the age of that.
Wait, okay. So then, I guess spoiler, guys. But then, is that where the preachy message from The Grinch comes from?
Exactly.
Because all of Dr. Seuss, well, the two that I know the best, the Lorax and The Grinch, are kind of preachy.
Oh, no. Dr. Seuss, for the most part, unless it's like a you're great and you're awesome the way you are message, it's always like a...
Save the environment. Think about others.
Very, yeah. Ugh. Like, there's a lesson to be
what
learned.
What a socialist.
Dr. Seuss himself could actually, like, he identified with the Grinch because he hated the consumerism aspect of Christmas. Mm-hmm. And he's like, what the fuck are you doing at Christmas? Like, is this what Christmas is supposed to be about? So right. He wrote that in a response to it. Mm-hmm. So that's why that
and not
book,
in those words, per se.
Yeah, no. He wrote it a little bit more simply and eloquently.
In rhyme.
And in rhyme. So, yeah. So he wrote that. He pretty much criticized the commercialization of Christmas. And that's something that's important to remember every single adaptation later, I think, because that original message kind of sometimes it gets lost and sometimes it's still there, but then they focus on other things,
mm-hmm.
which they're going to do because now we're no longer in the age of like the birth of that. This was like when this was a new thing. We're like, this has been the thing for over almost 100 years for us.
Yeah, I guess. When did the first Grinch movie come out?
So the first adaptation of the Grinch happened in 1966.
Yeah, so he failed at his message.
Yeah. Well, yeah. So, all right. So let's go into it. 1966, How the Grinch Stole Christmas.
You're a mean one, Mr. Grinch. You really are a he.
No. Who directed this film and then who drew it?
Oh, I just saw it this morning.
Yep.
And I remember seeing the name Chuck Jones.
Chuck Jones.
Chuck Jones
and
animated.
What do we know Chuck Jones from?
Bugs Bunny.
Yeah, he's a Looney Tunes guy. And if you watch the Grinch special, that is very, like, it has Chuck Jones style. That he looks like a Looney Tunes character.
Interesting. I never picked up on a Chuck Jones element until now as an adult watching the movie.
Yeah.
And I said Chuck Jones is his name.
Well,
and my instant reaction was just like, I did not know that he was involved in this movie.
Yep. He was commissioned to do it, and he worked with Dr. Seuss on it. Like, Dr. Seuss wrote the lyrics to the song. Chuck Jones is the reason, like, he was responsible for the colorization and stuff, and he's the one who made the Grinch green.
Which became iconic with the Grinch, mm-hmm. because...
Yeah, because in the original book, he wasn't green. Yeah.
Right, if you didn't know that.
Yeah, now you know. So this came out in 1966. I mean, let's talk about Christmas specials. You know, still the commercialization and consumerism of Christmas is very much alive. 64 was Rudolph. 65 was the Charlie Brown Christmas special. 69 was Frosty the Snowman. Mm-hmm. 66 was Grinch, right? So these are all something that they still get played on ABC and NBC till this friggin' day.
Yeah, I don't understand the appeal.
It's just tradition, I guess, now.
I just never once gravitated towards any of those movies.
I like the Grinch, but the other ones I don't like. I like them.
I mean, the Christmas tree from Charlie Brown is still, like, pretty iconic, right?
That little, it's so iconic.
Like, the greenless, the branches, basically, with, mm-hmm. like, the broken branches, yeah.
Yeah.
But other than that, like, I never cared for any of these holiday movies.
Yeah, they're not among my favorite either. But, I mean, people love them, and I don't mind them. I'm not, like, a huge fan of them. But it's just crazy, because this era really did solidify what Christmas is for us, which is so funny, because it was criticizing it.
Right.
So, just some fun facts. Boris Karloff, who's known for being Frankenstein's monster, mm-hmm. from the original 30s films.
He was a narrator,
and he also voiced the Grinch himself.
Oh, I didn't know that. Oh, sorry, I wasn't aware that they were the same actors.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And it's pretty much a faithful adaptation. I mean, Dr. Seuss was alive when this happened, so he helped them adapt it. And it was released as a short film. I've grown up on this. I mean, even the song, you know, Fa Hu Wa I have heard that song every single Christmas of my life. Mm-hmm. And I actually I think it's a very pretty melody. And, you know, cutting to when they used it in the 2018 film, I got a little verklempt because I'm like, oh my God, this is my childhood. So, like, the Grinch, I actually really like, out of all those specials, it's one that I kind of resonate a little bit more with. And I think it's a really nice message that Christmas isn't actually about all of these, like, these presents and stuff, you know, the who's when everything's taken away from them. Because, come on, we all know the fucking Grinch story. I don't have to explain it to you guys.
But in case you don't, we probably should.
Should we? You can do that.
All right. So the Grinch is this green monster who lives on a mountain and hates Christmas. And mm-hmm. we're in a town that I think, depending on the retelling, it's perpetually celebrating Christmas or...
Yeah.
Of some reason. They love Christmas, these who's, despite the fact that they're not humans and they don't have a Christ savior.
It's their identity, essentially, is Christmas.
It is, yeah. They identify by Christmas and the gifts that they exchange with each other and decorating.
Yeah.
Grinch gets fed up and decides, this is the year I'm going to end it all, and he decides to literally steal Christmas
yeah.
from the who's, And eventually the Who's all get together the morning after the robbing, and they realize, like, no, this isn't what Christmas is about anyway. It's about love and being together. And he realizes the error of his ways. His heart grows 3 times the size it was that day. And he joins the Who's and lives
and
happily
he carves the roast Who or the roast beef or whatever.
Okay.
You know, that's interesting.
Getting very specific.
Yeah. He, listening to you retell it, it's actually, I'm listening to like the Dr. Seuss commentary about suburbia and how like you almost don't have an identity when you like join a community like that and like suburbanization. They're all just like a bunch of Who's. Like the Grinch is the only one who stands out and who has an identity.
Was Dr. Seuss himself against suburbia?
Well, he was a preachy motherfucker, as we now know.
I didn't know all this about Dr. Seuss. I mean, I kind of assumed he was kind of definitely progressive. I'm a progressive too, don't get me wrong. I joke, but. Like, he had a pretty radical agenda with the Lorax.
He did.
So, I just find it mind-boggling that, like, that message is still so... I think that message of, like, what is Christmas? Right, that's usually the question.
Yeah.
What is Christmas? I think each of these adaptations, these 3 movies, they've all kind of answered it a little differently.
Yeah.
And I think, so in the 1966 version, since they really kept it true to the book, I think those messages of consumerism, they get... a little lost because I think it's the movie itself is caught up in those 20 it's like a really short 28 minutes right most of that really focuses on like the fun stuff of him stealing and him plotting and that kind of stuff
and not really the why
that doesn't really show up until like the very very end, like in the last like 5 minutes of the film.
I agree that he's a progressive and like his things are really subtle, you know, because he's also writing children's books, so he can't hit us over the head unless it's the Lorax. But it's just like little things you pick up on and you're like, wow, man, I hope he was a feminist. I don't know. I don't know too much about Theodore Geisel.
Do the Who's have sex? Not like sex with each other. I meant like in terms of gender.
Cindy Lou Who. It's a girl.
I mean, I know we refer to her as a she, but like, do we know that these Who's are male and female?
Yes, because, well, I would say in Cindy Lou, I mean, she's very much a little girl. She's not just a child. Okay. She's a little girl. So they do, I think they have sexes, yeah. They have, and genders.
I said that wrong. My phrasing was.
Do they have sex? I grew up watching it and I really like it. Do you like it?
I grew up, it would be in the background, but that was not one of my family's go-to Christmas movies. The animation itself, like, never, it was all kind of like, flat color. Like, yeah, the Grinch himself was green, but everything was like so monochromatic for the most part. It was just kind of boring. And
true.
The only thing I really did love about the movie was the Grinch's song. And that is actually to date one of my favorite Christmas songs of all time.
It's a great song.
It's I choose like the most depressing ones, like The Grinch and Last Christmas by Wham.
Mine's Blue Christmas by Elvis, another sad one.
Yeah, see? I mean, the sad Christmas songs are usually the best ones.
Yeah, oh, hell yeah. You know? It's a Christmas special that was made in the 60s and made for television special. You know, I can forgive the lack of pop in its color and whatnot. It's still a really nice animation. Yeah. And
I mean,
it's simple.
It's not my least favorite movie, but it might be, but it's definitely one of my least favorite movies. I think Rudolph and Frosty are for sure my least favorite of those holiday movies.
What's your favorite Christmas special?
1 year Britney Spears did a Christmas special. I'm joking. Lady Gaga one, obviously.
Judy Garland did one that was great. She was clearly drunk the whole
time.
Stop
trying to bring Judy Garland into every conversation, Nicole.
I know. My true favorite one, though, is the Muppet Family Christmas.
Oh, the Muppet Christmas Carol? Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure.
Not the Christmas Carol. Oh. The Muppet Family Christmas.
Oh, see, my favorite Christmas movie is the Muppet Christmas Carol.
That's my favorite Christmas movie, but my favorite Christmas special.
Like, I don't know. I don't think I ever watched really a lot of those specials. I know Star Wars one is like unwatchable. Never seen it, but I want to see it badly.
It's a lot of fun. It's on
YouTube.
Oh, you've
seen it?
It's on YouTube.
I gotta watch it. I'll watch it this Christmas then.
Okay, so you know what? Let's stick to the Grinch. And I guess let's move on to the 2000 version.
You're a mean one, Mr. Grinch. You really are.
The next year, Ron Howard's film, A Beautiful Mind, won Best Picture. And the year before, Jim Carrey had just made Man on the Moon, right? So this is the era of them. So they were both really on the top of their prime. I think he was nominated for an Academy Award for Man on the Moon.
Which is Man on the Moon?
The one about Andy Kaufman.
Who is Andy Kaufman?
The comedian from the 70s, and some people think that he faked his own death. And
what?
Really, like...
Oh, I never...
Like,
I've
performative
never seen
comedian.
I have no idea who Andy Kaufman is.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
He's actually now a name that's really getting lost. And like the more time passes, the more people forget about him. Whatever.
Because of people like me.
I'm glad you know it. Whatever. So he made that film, did really good. Even The Truman Show, like 1998.
No, The Truman Show was, yeah.
So they're very much on the top of their prime, and they collaborated to make the family film version of,
I mean, but Grinch. By 2000, Jim Carrey was like, not past his prime. It was definitely, he was peaking.
That's, yeah.
Because by two, you know, I mean, I think The Mask, those were like earlier 90s. Ooh. The Mask, Liar Liar.
I think by Liar Liar, he was at his prime, yeah. Okay, so 2000, I think he also made that movie, Me, Myself, and Irene, and he definitely wasn't on the top of his game for
But a lot of people enjoyed that movie, surprisingly.
True, but it's kind of like how Will Ferrell made Step Brothers in 2008, but he was at the top of his prime in like Anchorman, Talladega Nights. This was just right after that.
Right, 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 yeah.
So this is right after like prime Jim Carrey.
Yes.
And he does The Grinch. I don't like this movie.
Yeah, I know we spoke about this a little yesterday when we saw The Grinch, the new one. And I told you, the first thing I said is I was so surprised at how much I actually enjoy the 2000 Grinch Who Stole Christmas. I think for me, the movie, the script is a little too on the nose about its anti-consumerism message. Mm-hmm. It's so on the nose that it's ridiculous. However, I think it got that point across the best out of all three films. Okay. I think developing Cindy Lou, even that one song that she had where she sang it off key.
Where are you, Christmas? Why can't I find you?
She was so bad, right? I love the Faith Hill version, right? But I think it was nice because I think maybe at that point, I love decorating for Christmas. Don't get me wrong. Love gifts. I love exchanging gifts. Mm-hmm. But there's like a little bit of an emptiness when, you know, we mark the beginning of the Christmas season with like Black Friday usually. Mm-hmm. And there's like this like weird, like we have to like spend. We have to like kind of like one up each other, and this kind of movie, I guess maybe the wise 13-year-old in me was realizing it's just like it kind of captures something that I was feeling at the time. And you know, I don't want to say it definitely didn't change my ways, because I still spend.
Yeah,
but I think when I try to give gifts, right, I don't try to go for like what's most expensive. It's about what's most sentimental. Yeah. And I think that's kind of like, that wasn't the exact message from this film, but I think it's about things coming from the heart that are more important, right? It's about like, you know, it's not necessarily about being together as a family, but it's about like kind of the expression of like, Christmas is love is what this story is really about. The 2000 Grinches.
You know, I totally agree with you, but it's funny that you got that the most from the 2000 film,
mm-hmm.
because I didn't get that as much. Like when she's singing, Where Are You Christmas? I'm like, but you live in Whoville.
And
Christmas
that's not Christmas.
Is all around you.
But that's the whole point of the movie.
I know. I'm like being a little facetious when I say that, because clearly like Christmas is surrounding her and she's like, but where are you Christmas? Like, where are you really? And I get the meaning of the song, but at the same time, I'm like, are you kidding me? You're 12, right? Like you above all should know where Christmas is. And I also get it. The eyes of a child are the ones who are supposed to see Christmas for what it really is. Blah, blah, blah. But then at the same time, out of every single film version of this Grinch, right? These Whos are fucking assholes. And I don't think they're the ones who are capable of having the Grinch's heart, like, you know, grow three times its sizes and then making, because of their actions towards Christmas and what really is Christmas, making him see what Christmas really is. They're shallow assholes.
I disagree with you. So I think you're right. I think the Whos in this film are definitely like the biggest, They embody what humanity is, really, if you think about it. Americans, yeah, specifically, right?
Yeah.
I think it wasn't the Whos themselves that make the Grinch change his ways. It's Cindy Lou.
Yes, she...
And it's Cindy Lou's innocence that kind of is what ends up spreading around to everybody. So yeah. They all turn their back on her twice in the movie, right?
Yeah, they do.
The first time she brings the Grinch to town.
Mm-hmm.
And they name him like the Whovian Christmas Person of the Year. I don't remember. He gets some sort of award or something. And then they use it to like kind of make a fool of him.
Yeah.
Because the mayor's a dickhead. I guess we should probably give a little bit of a story. Because this Grinch story has a little more
plot. Okay, go for it.
So I'm going to give the plot. So in this version of the Grinch was delivered to the family. It's kind of implied that he might be the illegitimate child of like the mom's boss or something. According to a joke, but I don't remember. And then he ends up growing up. He's green, So as a result, he gets like targeted by like the other Whovians while growing up. And, you know, he gets bullied a lot for it.
And they
end up shaving him.
And even the teacher like joins in. Or, like,
I don't know if she bullies him, but like I think she's not.
She's complacent.
Yeah. And I feel like as a teacher, I'd probably be the same way. Like,
oh, you'd be a horrible teacher. Never teach, Rolando.
No, I don't. Never teach. I've made the joke, right? If I ever become a teacher, I want to write like the student's name on a board in order of how I like them. So he ends up getting bullied, and this is why he ends up hating the Whos, who are enamored with Christmas, and they live like in a year-long Christmas celebration, and they also live on a snowflake, right? Like, I guess that's a callback to the Horton Hears a Who, where they live on like these little things. So he ends up becoming the Grinch, and Cindy Lou is trying to discover the meaning of Christmas. She ends up coming across him and invites him. She wants to like learn why people don't like the Grinch, so she ends up like doing like an investigative report on what happened to him growing up. That's how she discovers his, you know, his past. She nominates him to be the Christmas czar, Christmas visor. I don't remember what it was. The mayor wanted that award, so I'm going into real depth here.
Mm-hmm.
And the point is, what's it called? So he ends up coming back to town, and he ends up getting humiliated. Then that's when he decides he's going to, you know, get his vengeance on the town by stealing Christmas. He ends up stealing Christmas. And at that point, all the people in town, like, realize the Grinch is behind it all. And they blame Cindy Lou for bringing him back into Whoville.
Yeah.
As a result, her father stands up for Cindy Lou and realizes that this isn't what Christmas is about anyway. It's not about the gifts. It's about love. And the town gets together and starts singing. The Grinch hears that song and he decides, oh my God, like I've been wrong. Again, his heart grows in size and he saves Christmas for them.
Yes.
And I think it ends with like him cutting the ham.
And getting the girl.
And he gets the girl in this one. Yeah, in this one there's a love interest here.
Yeah.
She's dating the mayor, engaged by the end of the movie, but then she breaks it off to be with the Grinch.
Yeah. She likes hairy men.
That was weird.
That was weird. I didn't really buy it. And I didn't think he needed a love interest. And I was like, you know, so it's interesting because the original Grinch, the book, and then the 1966 one, that's a response to commercialization of Christmas. But this Grinch is a response, a satirical comment on people and the frailty of people in society. Even like, you know, if Seuss was like really subtle with like his critiques of suburbanization, then this one was way on the fucking nose with like the mayor and with like the two women who are competing with decorating their Christmas houses and just like the shallowness of it all. I think one of them had a name that was like about Martha Stewart and stuff. So it's like, it's actually hitting really close to like roles in society and people. So it's not just consumerization, it's people's involvement in it. And it's almost kind of like, not angry. What's a better word for it? It's just like
bitter.
Bitter.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's just like kind of like fuck you people. And it takes more of like an attack at like us as people, and it puts the blame on us instead of like this, like the environment that we've created around Christmas.
Good. Like,
it's a little too bitter for me.
I mean the movie is so preachy.
It is. Yeah.
It's like going to gospel. But I think it's a good message.
Yeah.
That I think, like, what's it called? That I wish people would have realized in 2000.
I like really nicely like packaged messages. I like more subtle messages that like you really have to find it for yourself, not have it hit over your head in the first 10 minutes and then have to like go home another 2 hours swallowing that.
Clearly Americans are too stupid to get the message, because 2018 we were having another Grinch movie trying to teach us what Christmas is all about. No,
that's not why we're having another Grinch movie in 2018 though. That's not why.
You're right. It's about consumerism. Everything that Dr. Seuss warned us about.
I think in the hands of maybe a different filmmaker would have been better. I don't like the way Ron Howard handled it. I don't like the way the scriptwriters handled it. I just did not enjoy it. And I also didn't enjoy Jim Carrey's approach to the Grinch. I think Jim Carrey's great.
Mm-mm.
And it's kind of like, you know how like Robin Williams brought what he does really well to the genie, but it worked?
Yeah, it was voice acting though.
Maybe that's what it was. Jim Carrey brought what he does best to the Grinch, and it didn't really work.
So I think that's also the other reason why I actually enjoyed this film. I think it was kind of the ambitious task of trying to create this Whoville story, this weird, because they're not adapting the book, they're adapting the movie.
They are, yeah,
right.
This is a response to the film. Mm-hmm.
So trying to adapt this animated into a live action, that's ambitious, even for 2000. And it's I think I love it because it's so weird for that. True. Like the costume design, the, and I think Jim Carrey was peak Jim Carrey here only because he had to really, he can only emote so much with his face. Mm-hmm. And you know, Jim Carrey is very much known for his face, like his facial expressions. He was limited by the, all the makeup that he had. So he had to do a lot of physical performance. And as we know, Jim Carrey is great at physical performance. He is a good physical comedian. I enjoy his casting as the Grinch.
You know, the makeup, the visual effects, the set, the costumes, amazing. Mm-hmm. I didn't really, they had like a foggy, like glossy feeling to the whole film. I didn't particularly enjoy in terms of, the cinematography was great and it had like a lot of Dutch angles and almost felt like a German expressionist film.
I mean, shot, and then it was like not a lot of CGI was the other thing I appreciate from it.
Very, yeah, because, yeah, 2000, really nice. But still, like something about the overall, like, like temperature of the film, if that makes sense.
Well, it was just cold, Nicole. It was, they live on a snowflake.
If the 1966 version of The Grinch, which is closer to the Seuss book, was just like an angry, bitter man, then this one was just like a sarcastic, immature little boy.
Yes, he was stunted in growth because of all the bullying he endured.
Yeah, oh yeah, they made that really clear. I mean, there's a lot to admire about the
film. Key word there, personally.
Personally,
no, I enjoyed his, like, I enjoyed his, he was like supposed to be snarky and kind of like,
No.
No? You don't
I think
so?
Maybe if he was gayer, I would have enjoyed it better.
Oh my God, I would have loved that. Oh,
a gay
like
Grinch?
A gay.
Yes, like, that would have been great.
But that would have probably been offensive, though, because Why? Being the gay and being like hating Christmas, like a curmudgeon, I don't know.
You think it would have been queer coding?
A little, if they had gone that route.
I suppose, but like, well, then they couldn't have made, maybe if they went the 2018 approach where he was just like this misunderstood guy who had a like a really actually good reason to be the way that he was.
Oh,
and they established that backstory, and then you like, and then he was gay.
Wait, you, so you don't think? All right, hang on, wait. So you don't think that the reason that this Grinch is bitter about Christmas? So you don't think being bullied by a tyrant, and then that tyrant becomes the mayor, is going to make you bitter?
Oh, please. I was bullied in high school and I came out on the other side. We've all been fucking bullied. We've all had our fair share. This person had no love.
I was actually the bully a lot of times.
Were you?
I was.
So do you feel bad for it? You are the mayor. But like, I think that when you grow up without any form of love and you're alone on a special holiday year after year after year, like that's a little bit more impactful. And we're referring to the 2018 reasons for the way the Grinch is the way he is.
I thoroughly enjoy the 2000 version. I think it had a lot of, I like I said, there was just such a whimsical, there was like a craziness, right? I haven't seen this movie high ever, but I think that's going to be on my to-do list for sure. Because this movie is just so wacky and out of this world. That I'm surprised that I haven't watched it again since I saw it as a kid in the theater.
Oh, wow. If I were to watch this movie high, it would be way much of a bug out. I'd have to stop.
Yeah, because they're so creepy.
Yeah, like it's
the,
a little too
like
much.
The makeup is so, like, it's just so, it's a little scary at times.
It is.
And,
yeah.
But it's such a, I mean, they did such a good job. I applaud them for doing that and, like, the Jim Carrey makeup. But not even that, the performances were also good. Like, outside from Cindy Lou, who singing off key, like, I think her performance was sweet.
Well, I thought that was endearing. She's a
pass. And,
but it took the movie an hour for it to get to the actual plot.
Yeah, because it had to be a movie, Nicole. They no, can't, like, what's it
called? So, the 2018 didn't do that. There was just too much backstory, though, with, I think, the 2000. And I do not like that at the end he gets, there's a love interest and then he gets rewarded with the girl in the end. That wasn't needed. Unnecessary. It's kind of like that Disney thing where women need like the knight in shining armor at the end.
I agree with you. The throwing in love interest was weird. Mm. But, you know, the bully gets what he deserved. No, the other thing that I liked about the movie, though, was Max. Max becomes its own. They really capitalize on the fact that they have a dog in this movie. Mm. More so than they could have in the animated film. Because Max is he's just there. He becomes a reindeer.
In the 2018?
No, in the 1966 version.
Yeah, oh, well, he was a completely abused dog.
Yeah, he was.
Yeah.
And in the 2000 version, Max is kind of a fun dog, right? Mm-hmm. I think my favorite scene is like when the Grinch comes back from town, angry, and like the dog is dancing to Christmas music.
Yeah.
So what does he do? He kicks him out, like throws him out. It's hilarious. The dog's performance is great.
Was it hilarious, Rolando?
Oscar-worthy.
Did you laugh out loud? Was it hilarious?
I was decorating a Christmas tree, watching this movie, and like, I laughed. I rewinded it so I could watch it again. The dog goes up there with some of the best actors, along with Eddie from Frasier.
Ah, yeah. Mm. And the dog from Nick and Nora and The Thin Man, Asta.
What? I have no idea what that is.
I'm again showing my age, but whatever. All right, so let's jump to the 2018 then.
Let's jump to the 2018 version.
Okay, you ready? 1, 2, 3, jump. You're mean one. You really are a heel. You're as cuddly as a cactus. You're as charming as an eel. So we just saw this movie together.
We did. Night. We saw it last night together.
Yeah.
$5 Tuesdays.
This one goes back to the roots of finding that the problems within Christmas are not within the people and within the Whos, but within the commercialization of Christmas itself. The Whos in this film are almost unbelievably nice.
Yes.
They're not like the 2001, like, had a problem with, like, it's like humanity that is inherently flawed in the 2001.
Yeah, they're like, it is not that way. Like, Stepford Wives.
Almost. Yes.
Like that kind of idealized, you know, Americana.
Yeah, okay. I could say that. The Whos, they were way more pleasant. You know, they were really in love with what Christmas brought out within each other. Mm-hmm. I think out of all of them, they seemed to be... It was almost like a Frank Capra film, and where it was like, whoa, that America does not exist, but I want to be a part of that America. Frank Capra directed It's a Wonderful Life, right?
Oh.
So that sense of, like, community in Americana. You know, this Whoville, it's like, wow. Like, I actually, out of all the Whovilles, I would actually want to be in this Whoville. Like, the one boy, the man with the beard.
Oh, come here, Grinchy. Yeah. Oh, what is his name? Brinkelhoff? Yeah, Mr. Brinkelbaum.
I found that, yeah, no matter how much of a sniveling asshole the Grinch was to him, he was still, like, very endearing and sweet and was just like, give me a hug. Grinch, that's who you are, you know. So it was very unrealistic, but also very sweet. I would love to meet people who could take me for the asshole that I am and still accept me. Mm. You know?
Same.
That's how I feel about you.
Yeah. I was going in there open-minded, mm-hmm. right? And they lost me in the first 5 minutes when they started doing, like, kind of a more update version of the Grinch song.
Yeah.
I was just like, out of it, done, don't like it, not here for it. I gotta say, Pharrell Williams as a narrator, though, he was good. It's like that was a good place where you update the source material, right? Which is like the 1966 version, right? That voice, that narrator, yeah, it's iconic, that voice, like, narrating the Grinch story.
Mm-hmm.
But having Pharrell kind of, it's a little lighter, and it makes it feel a little more kids movie like.
It did, yeah.
I don't know. I guess maybe I'm just still bitter, I guess, right? I don't like all these happy Whos and stuff. Because I think the message of consumerism gets lost in this film. Like, this film isn't about the consumerism. This film is more about, like, just almost battling depression.
I completely agree. This film almost loses the original, almost loses the original intention of why it was made, right?
Yeah, it's a throwaway line that they throw in there about, like, oh, this isn't about the gifts and the thing. It was, like, literally a line where at least the 2000 version, like, kind of beat you over the head with it.
Yeah, no, this film is more about, like, if you kind of, like, come out of your shell and you're, like, more open mind and you aren't so tough on yourself, then, like, there's beautiful things waiting at you. There's people who are willing to accept you, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that's almost, like, what this film felt like. Because the Grinch in this film, he was an orphan his whole life, and he grew up at an orphanage, and he would watch other people have happy Christmases, and he would be alone.
Which makes no sense, by the way. They have a gigantic orphanage. And one person in there.
Yeah, right.
The Grinch. So why did they build this orphanage in the first place?
Right? Why couldn't they find this guy a foster family?
Yeah. Yeah, that's the other thing, right? These Whos are so happy-go-lucky. Mm-hmm. They can't take in one
seriously,
Grinch.
Yeah, that was a great flaw within that. Yeah. The other thing that I realized, too, was that I think that this was more also like a commentary on, like, not humanity, but like the struggles of humanity. Like Cindy Lou's mother, she was a single mother,
yeah.
And she was going about all this stuff alone. And if only kids could be that aware of how much their parents struggle. Yeah.
And here's, hang on, counterpoint. You, what's it called? You mentioned that you didn't like the 2000 version of the Grinch needing a woman. Well, this one is about kind of, sort of vaguely, even so subtly, but it's really about Cindy Lou Moms needing a man.
And I that disagree.
Man becoming the Grinch.
You're projecting that.
No, I'm not projecting that. That was the very ending.
You think that the Grinch is her new dad? Oh, my God.
Yes.
I didn't get that.
What are you talking about? Like, all Cindy Lou wanted was someone to help her mom, and then the Grinch is there.
She wanted Santa Claus to help her mother's plate be lifted, right? Not like give my mom a man so that because that's what she's missing
in
her life.
In those words, the gods gave her the Grinch, all right? And then the Grinch ends up helping him. It's right there in the scene where like she's trying to like, you know, put the table, like put the food on the
table.
And
he was there
right?
to help her.
He's there to help her. Literally to take shit off her, take weight off her shoulders. All right.
I did not read that into
it. And I'm going to throw another, here's another loop at you. Uh-huh. All right. You know how you took the very ending of Michael Myers breathing at the end of the credits? In the credits here, the Grinch is building inventions to help the mom. They end up together. Yeah. The story, the moral of the story is that she needs the Grinch.
Why couldn't they just be friends though? Like, okay, maybe he did introduce himself into the life of Cindy Lou and the mom, but like, I don't think it was a romantic way at all.
I took it. You're right. It may they weren't as explicit about it, but they were. It was there.
It was there in the sense where like the Grinch is now going to enter the life, because this is also a film where it's like humanity did not save the Grinch. It was Cindy Lou.
Yes.
And so this has that in some. It's a similar into the 2000 film, but I so did not read that at all. Mm. I mean, they were careful to like not really explicitly say it, and I guess maybe I just didn't read into the fucking lines. But I didn't get that.
Mm-hmm. I did. I saw it.
I thought it was more just like these people really took like pity on this charity case.
I will say this much. I think at the very end, when the Who's opened their arms for the Grinch,
yeah,
it did not feel that way. I think they did a very good job of kind of making it seem like they're just that happy
they
go lucky
people. They
felt
bad for him, yeah.
They realize it's just like, you're right, like we kind of are responsible for creating this monster, and like we want to treat him with love.
They had
and,
more self-awareness,
right? So I like that, sure, but I, you know, overall this was actually my second least favorite Grinch version.
So your favorite was the 2000, I see.
Oh yeah.
So in this film too, the Grinch, he's way more empathetic.
Yes.
Like if the first one was just a grumpy asshole and then the second was a sarcastic asshole, this one was just a misunderstood guy. And a depressed guy. He was suffering from depression. The big moment that actually kind of resonated with me was right when he knocked on the door about to enter for Christmas dinner. He was like, oh my God, no, they're going to hate me. Mm-hmm. And he had like that self-loathing moment. I'm like, oh my God, I've had that moment. So like, I have that moment literally every day of my life.
Yeah, I have it like every other day, not every day.
Yeah. And I was just like, wow, that's me, where I just like, I felt so crippled and like, oh my gosh, no, why would I go out? Everyone hates me and all that stuff. So I realized too, what you realized, well, there was more about like a commentary about depression.
What do you think? Was it smart kind of making this Grinch more empathetic? I think it kind of takes the sting out of what the Grinch is.
Yep.
Which, or was it supposed to be, right?
It really had to be earned at the end. It wasn't, it kind of felt like a slow dissolve instead of like a, it was a moment and it was an impactful thing.
And I like you mentioned, like his relationship with Max is one of the ways I think the writers and director went about kind of softening the Grinch.
Yeah.
You made actually a really good observation after the film, in which when the Grinch kind of apologizes to Max early in the movie for kind of the way he treated him.
Yeah.
Something you're right, the other Grinches would not have done.
Nope, not at all.
In fact, the 2000 Grinch would have been passive aggressive about it, even if he was in the wrong, which is kind of what I would do. And then the other way they actually try to soften up the Grinch is by the introduction of a new reindeer character.
Yeah, it's Fred.
So what did you think about that new character?
But the introduction of Fred, too, was definitely like, again, it has the whole thing where it's like the slow dissolve of like, it was inevitable that the Grinch was going, his heart was going to grow. His heart was already slowly growing thrice its size.
Yeah, he let them sleep in their bed, for example.
He let them sleep in their bed.
And a dog sleep on the bed.
He apologized to Mac, let them sleep in his bed. He let Fred go back to his family.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like he has this heart, like the moment where he gets like thrown, catapulted into their tree. And then he's like amongst them and he's almost having like this post-traumatic stress moment.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're like, oh, this guy has emotion. Like he just has emotional issues. Yeah. That's it. It's not like for any other reason. And everything else, I agree with you in the sense where the commercialization and consumerism, no longer a thing.
Right.
Completely out the window, because it's now just about him and his problems.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I guess I didn't realize this until rewatching these movies, but like that's the overall stronger message of what the Grinch is supposed to be.
Actually, you know what? I just had an epiphany. I think that was really smart of them. Because it's not 1957 anymore.
Okay.
Christmas is the way it is. It is. It's 2018, you know, and we can't, like, the commercialization and consumerism, that's what it is. It has been for years. You can't change that. But I think that especially for the generation after us, we're millennials. The generation after us, what is that? X?
Gen Xers?
But at the same time, like, these younger generations are all on the brink of mental health crises. You know, millennials, we're all kind of like slowly losing our shit as well. Like, mental health problems are more common within millennials and younger, more and more. It just simply is.
Yeah, but you can blame a lot of that on our consumerist society.
But that's the thing. Like, so the consumerism and the commercialization that these earlier films, particularly the 66 one, criticized and didn't want to take over, has taken over. This is the effect of that.
So what you're saying is just like, now the Grinch is trying to solve a new problem?
Yeah, this is the 2018 problem.
It's not giving up. Would not want to give up.
It's realizing. Dr. Seuss is dead, motherfucker.
I know, he died and he lost the war.
Dr. Seuss would be very, very sad that this is the climate that the 2018 Grinch is being made. But the 2018 Grinch, whether or not I don't know if I'm going to give that to the filmmakers or not. But at the same time, it recognized that the new problem is not within the culture of Christmas. Now it's become like this very individual mental health crisis that people are having. You know, our smartphones have isolated us. We're very isolated people. You know, like millennials and younger, they're safer than they've ever been in their lives. But at the same time, they're sadder because they're so closed off because of the technology that we've grown up with. So this Grinch is almost more fitting for the commentary that needs to be told mm-hmm. in this day and age mm-hmm. because a lot of us are sad as fuck. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And they're just going to get sadder. This next generation, maybe the generation after, maybe, you know, the pendulum will shift and they'll be fine. But some of our generation, especially the late millennials and the generation immediately after us, the Gen Z, we're sad.
I mean, there's a lot of circumstances as to why we're sad.
Yeah, we're not going to get into that.
Right. But that's what I'm saying. It's just like, I don't think blaming technology is a cop out.
First of all, I'm not blaming technology. But at the same time, do you think technology has no effect over us?
I'm not saying that it doesn't have an effect. I'm just saying, but there's a lot of elements. There's a lot of reasons why, because I agree with you. I think the millennials generation, there is like a bigger, probably cases, there are probably more cases of actual depression. Probably because actually people are actually clinical about it and realize that this is a real thing. Wasn't really a thing before, like
before
the 80s,
no,
right?
No, because you didn't have so much to indulge in that affected your energy so much.
But I think the other reason is like I think the millennial generation, or if not our generation, the very next one is going to be the first generation where like we're not going to be making as much as like our generation before us made in terms of a financial situation, right? There's these expectations that are brought down upon us, especially because of consumerism, that our generation will not live up to, probably, very likely. That is a very socioeconomic reason why this generation is the way it is in terms of a depression. And it's not just technology based. I'm sure technology has exacerbated because technology is part of that consumerist mentality. We're always getting a new iPhone every other year. I don't think everyone's getting a new iPhone every year. Mm-hmm. I say every other year when the S comes out. When the numbers change, we get a new iPhone, guys.
Yeah. I'm not blaming technology. I realize that it's a factor. And I'm simply saying that the lives that the children now are living in, the climate that we are, is completely different from when it first got made. So we have to adapt what the Grinch means in terms of the message and in terms of Christmas. And, you know, we're a generation raised on screens. When you go to a fucking family event and stuff and you feel uncomfortable, or you go to anything, you go to your phone. And like, that's a very individual experience. Just like, you know, before books were invented, people didn't have a way to like go within themselves and resort to themselves. And then they had books, and then they could live these whole lives within their own imaginations and stuff. So like, our phones have very much isolated us in this beautiful, complicated way, right? And because of that like isolation that like this generation of millennials and younger have felt, it's affected our mental health more than the generations before us is all. Mm-hmm. So because of that, mental health is becoming more and more of a thing. Mm-hmm. People are just like, you know, being disillusioned and disenchanted. And, you know, like when you see things on a screen and you just live your life essentially through a screen too, things lose their meaning. And like, you just get very detached from it. And the Grinch, I'm not going to give it that much credit that it recognizes that, but it's almost a product of this environment. And it was a fitting 2018 approach to it. The Grinch is someone who lives on the outskirts and feels detached from everybody else. He sees everybody else happy, but he himself is not.
Yeah, I agree with you there.
Mm-hmm. And Christmas is about spending, and he said, you know, this is the first Christmas in 53 years that I haven't spent alone. I'm spending it with you guys.
So he doesn't count Max.
Well, here's the thing, though, but he loves Max. But, like, also, Max is different. I mean, I loved Max in this one. Max was so cute, and he was so loyal.
Yeah.
And they really showed the importance of, like, having, like,
a pet.
A pet, yeah. And that I thought was really nice and beautiful. But, you know, a pet isn't a person.
I feel like I can get that message from a lot more Christmas, which is about, like, the feeling of, like, Christmas is, like, family. Christmas is, like, home. Christmas is, like, togetherness. That's a very common message, I think, in holiday movies specifically.
It is.
I think if they wanted to go radical, all right, something that Dr. Seuss would probably be proud of is more about how we harp on the actual Christmas here and not like excluding the poor Jewish people or Muslim people who don't celebrate Christmas. All right, make the Grinch's reason for like hating this town because like he doesn't celebrate Christmas because he celebrates Hanukkah and he wants like what's it called? He wants to feel a part of their world. So you know what? This should have been a battle about not being Christmas. It should have been about the holidays.
Okay.
All right. That's a more modern twist on this story that I would have appreciated. Not like this whole message of like, I do. And not to say that I don't understand. Actually, I think you're very astute in pointing out that this is, you're right, a story about depression. And I think, sure, more stories just like that should be told. But I don't think that, you know, the kids' audiences, they should be actually more, they should actually, before we start showing them that like depression is real, let's show them, like, hey, how about being nice to others for, like, their different... Oh, I guess that's what
the 2001 didn't show that, though. They, like, beautifully showed how bullying works and, like, how disappreciation for your fellow human being comes into play all the fucking time.
At least that message, like, they were just, like, beating your head over.
2018 Grinch was the same exact... They had one message that they really went through, though. It's about self-love and open-mindedness and coming out of your shell.
Again, I'm going to also recognize I'm not the target audience for this movie.
No, not at all. Yeah. All right, so, you know what? This all has to do with whether or not this remake was needed.
Okay.
Do you think the 2001 was needed? Do you think this one was needed?
Oh, I don't know if the 2001 was needed, right? But I appreciate it.
Yeah.
I would say a remake of the original 1966 version, though, was needed. I don't know if it's this 2018 one. And I can definitely say it's not the 2001 because it's like so radical and different. And weird.
Yeah.
Live action throws you for a loop. I love it, though, right? But I don't know if that was needed either. And I don't know if this 2018 one is the right one either. I think in the 2018 one especially, they probably should have focused a little more on the anti-consumerist message.
True.
Of the original source material.
I would say that in general, you know, they weren't needed, but I actually disagree with your statement that it should have focused on consumerism because I strongly stand by consumerism isn't a problem anymore because it's done. We live in the fucking Matrix, man. Like, we can't change it. Maybe we could have changed it when it was being born in the 50s, but, like, it is what it is. Consumerism is Christmas. We only know that now. There's so much distance from, you know, like, why he wrote The Grinch in 1957 that they had to find something to adapt it for 2018, and they realized that it's no longer consumerism. It's about self-isolation.
I will agree with you. The idea of consumerism in 2018 seems like of a stretch, but you could combat that message of consumerism with something different, not necessarily about being love and open-mindedness and all this stuff. You could have combated it with charity. All right. Actually, if they had because I think if they had like they had that orphanage still full and crowded, all right, and the Grinch, and the Grinch comes back with all the gifts, and then the people of who realize the error of their ways and go reach out to those orphanage and kind of donate these gifts. That would have been a better message. That's both beating which is still a message about love, and it's also combating that commercialism and consumerism. It's not anti-capitalism. This is not a movie about anti-capitalism. It's a movie about consumerism, which is two different things.
That's true. Well, I feel like the 2001, though, was more of like a somewhat of an anti-capitalization and like anti almost like
the movie was like that was Ron Howard was preaching, right?
Yeah, seriously,
like I'm sure Bernie Sanders gets an erection when he watches that movie.
All right, so you want to do a lightning round?
Yeah, let's do a lightning round.
Okay. Lightning round. So which Grinch did you like best?
Jim Carrey. Hands down for me.
Yeah, hands down, I liked him the least.
You monster.
In terms of who the Grinch is supposed to be, the Boris Karloff of 1966 one is the closest to how Dr. Seuss envisioned him, and I would have to pick him by default, although I'm actually realizing how much I'm defending the 2018 because of what I at least am like kind of realizing it ended up being, even if it intentionally is. So I might have to close second pick the Benedict Cumberbatch 2018.
Ugh. I didn't like his voice acting.
Yeah, it was all right. Yeah, I agree with you. It wasn't a favorite. But. Which Max did you like the best?
Oh, the 2018 version.
The 2018 was so cute.
He definitely steals the show in this film.
Yeah.
The animation is so good.
So good. Oh, there were some moments where his face and his facial expressions and stuff were like so beautifully done.
Which actually reminds me, I didn't get a chance to say this, but the animation for this 2018 film is just spectacular.
Yeah, it was
I think
good.
It's just such a beautiful movie to watch.
Yeah, the way it began when you're like going down the hill.
I know it sounds like I'm really hating on this movie. I actually enjoyed it. Mm-hmm. I don't want to get it twisted, but I think the message is what I'm not agreeing with.
I see.
But I think the movie itself was great.
Okay.
It's going to be for sure a good family. I can definitely say, assume in like 10 years, hopefully when I have a kid, I'll probably watch this version of The Grinch over the Jim Carrey one.
Mm.
The Jim Carrey one will terrify my children.
Actually. Yeah, no. It will scar them. And I guess, which is your favorite Cindy Lou?
Huh. I think I like the 2000 version of Cindy Lou. Kind of, you know, I mean, she sang off key and I'll never forgive her for that. But her song, come on, that's such a nice Christmas song. Where are you, Christmas?
I like the original Cindy Lou because she was a symbol of naivete and innocence that the Grinch was stealing like Christmas away from, who didn't necessarily deserve his like passive aggressiveness actions about.
He wasn't passive aggressive. He was just aggressive.
No, he was downright aggressive. You're right. Like she resembled like the victim, like she was getting the brunt of his actions and she didn't deserve it. So she was like resembling innocence and all of this. So these Cindy Lou's though, they like have all these added backstories that I'm like, on.
I will say the added backstory of this movie, like introducing a single mom, that's mm-hmm. a nice element to introduce in 2018 I think they're not broken homes, guys. These are just homes. Like single moms exist.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah,
and it wasn't a broken home that she was in. That was just a household.
That was just a home, yeah. She's just overworked, yeah.
With three kids. It is what it is. This is life.
Yeah.
We don't even get an explanation as to what happened. Did her who father die?
Mm-hmm. No mention of a dad ever. Ever. Never mentions the word dad.
You think they were like immaculate births?
Maybe.
Like, is Cindy Lou the savior?
Yeah, that's a different
story. Yeah, that is a whole different story. We don't do the news here, guys.
Yeah. All right, so you want to get some news? Let's get some news, 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 news. Yes.
Again, Eddie and Josh aren't here because how dare they ask for that bonus.
And Emily's knitting and we don't want to bother her.
So I got us a little bit of a reboot news.
Oh.
Turns out that ABC has cast someone for their upcoming NYPD Blue reboot.
Oh, Jesus.
And they've casted someone named Alona Tal to star in the ABC reboot.
Did you watch NYPD growing up?
I started watching it when Mark Paul Gosselaar got on the cast. I think that was like the last two seasons.
Okay.
I remember because there was a lot of scandal around those last two seasons, right? Like they dropped the word shit.
Right? Is that what it was?
Yeah. So you remember the episode in South Park when you know they were saying shit all the time?
Shit.
It was because I remember the commercials, NYPD Blue, uncensored. And it was they dropped the word shit.
Is that Zach Morris?
Zach Morris, yeah.
You know, there's so many fucking cop shows and so many.
Here's an interesting tidbit. Not anymore. No, there's not that many based in New York anymore.
Really?
They're all in Chicago for some reason.
Other than Law and Order. Yeah, there isn't really anything in New York anymore.
Law and Order, SVU. Yeah, it's like the longest running show.
SVU. I mean, we really only need Special Victims Unit and then we don't need any other
cop show. I agree
with
you, but I was so disheartened when I learned what's been going on SVU since this guy left. So,
you didn't know that he's been gone
a while. I knew that he left. I meant like what's happened to the show.
Oh,
like Mariska's story arc. I've been like, I kind of don't want to watch it now.
Well, whatever. I don't care anything about NYPD.
Neither do I. It was the only news I could find since like Josh and Eddie they're trying to protest right now. They want their bonuses so they can go buy stuff for their loved ones.
Yeah.
And the Grinch is not about that. So,
We don't support consumerism, guys. Theodore Geisel had it right. Fuck consumerism.
Yes, yes. I just want to read a listener email. Yeah, we got one, guys. I'm currently listening to the Beauty and the Beast pod right now. Smiley face. Also, small note, it actually wasn't the first animated feature to use CGI. I believe The Great Mouse Detective was, but that under the rate that falls under the radar because it was still in the dark, in the Disney dark years. I think it's
it wasn't part underrated. Of the Disney Renaissance. Yeah.
Thank you, listener, for correcting me. And also, I blame again Josh and Eddie, who aren't here.
We should be fact checking us. Yeah, seriously.
But yeah, guys, feel free to leave us comments and messages on our social media.
Please,
you can find us on Instagram at Remakes, Reboots, and Revivals, and you can follow us on Twitter at Remakes Podcast. That's just a handle.
All right, cool. Well, I guess that's it.
And that's all she wrote.
This was Remakes, Reboots, and Revivals. Everyone have a lovely Christmas.
Happy holiday.
Happy holiday.
I don't know what you celebrate. And I'm not going to make assumptions.
True. Even though this is our Christmas special.
I just said it's a holiday special.
Well, then why don't we do a Hanukkah special? I'm down for that.
Are there Hanukkah movies that have been remade?
I have no idea.
I don't think anyone's remade Eight Crazy Nights Adam Sandler.
We could do all the different versions that Adam Sandler has done of the Hanukkah song.
Okay, yeah, we could do a special on that one. Yeah, that sounds like a good special.
That's cute. Until next time,
stay unoriginal.